Welcome back to the Dr. Jake podcast. I'm Dr. Jake Schmutz. I'm an integrative doctor and naturopathic physician. In this podcast, I share with you how to heal your body down to the root causes without harmful drugs or surgeries. I'm here today with my co-host, Teresa, to discuss the role of iodine in thyroid health.
You're watching the Dr. Jake podcast.
So let's talk about what is iodine. What is that thing that we keep on talking about? A lot of us might know, okay, it's related to the thyroid, but what is it specifically? It is a nutrient, it is an element, and it comes from the soil that we have. We get it from coming off the ocean waves and water evaporates a little bit. It gets up in the air and then it lands on top of the soil. So soils that are close to the coastal regions tend to have higher iodine. But a lot of the iodine we get is coming from the ocean. We're going to get that from fish. We're going to get that from seaweed, kelp, etc. And we don't get it from a lot of other sources except for iodized salt, which we're going to talk about in just a little bit of if that's good or bad. So let's talk about what does iodine do for the thyroid? So it's a major nutrient for us to be able to make thyroid hormone. So iodine goes in and allows us to actually get T4 made in the thyroid gland. So you have TSH produced from our pituitary gland that goes down and talks to our thyroid gland. And then you are going to have to need iodine to be able to make T4. If you don't have sufficient amount of iodine, you're not going to be making enough T4. And T4 is what's needed for us to be able to actually have thyroid function. But also we need that T4 to get converted into T3, which requires other nutrients besides iodine. Iodine is a piece there, but it's absolutely needed for the thyroid to function. If you are iodine deficient, you are going to have hypothyroidism, and that could be the major cause of your hypothyroidism. You might not even have to take thyroid hormone. It might be all related to not getting enough iodine. What are some of the symptoms you experience when you are iodine deficient? You're going to experience hypothyroid symptoms. These are fatigue, lethargy. You might be getting dry skin. You might be feeling cold. Often constipation, you might be losing your hair, you might be losing the outside hair on your eyebrows, you might start getting muscle pain and joint pains, brain fog. These are some of the basic symptoms that could be related to your thyroid not functioning very well, which could be related to iodine deficiency. So let's talk about why are people actually deficient in iodine throughout the world right now. So what is going on? And looking at the research, and I was looking at the research in the United States, and this is throughout the world also, is we have something called the NHANES data. This tracks nutrient deficiencies throughout the United States. And they see how much nutrients are people getting years ago compared to now. So they tracked it from 1974 to the early 2000s. And what they saw is there was a 50% decrease of iodine in people's blood from that time period. This is the time period that people were using iodized salt. So it is interesting that our iodine levels keep on decreasing and decreasing. This was up to 2000. Now it's 2023. So it's even getting worse and worse. So, and what's interesting about this is that I lost my train of thought. Most of the world is deficient in iodine because most of us aren't eating foods that are next to the ocean. Okay. We are getting industrialized food that is being grown from all over the world and we're not eating locally. So let's say you are living in California and you were close to the coast and you were growing all your own food, you likely wouldn't be iodine deficient. But the question is, most people aren't eating local food. They're not eating from just a farmer down the road or anything. They're eating food from all over the world. And most of this food is being grown not close to the ocean. But also what's going on is the toxicity from chlorine, fluoride, and bromine. So these bind on the receptors throughout our body and prevent iodine actually getting inside the cell. And then we're getting the symptoms of iodine deficiency and we are going to need more and more iodine because of that also. And then that's also going to affect the absorption of iodine throughout our body. So it's coming, we're not getting enough in our food, but also we're getting a lot of chemicals that are preventing the iodine even working or getting absorbed appropriately. So let's talk about where these toxic chemicals are coming from. So it is coming from, okay, let's talk about chlorine to start, right? Chloride. We're getting a lot of these toxic chlorines from our water supply. So we put chlorine in there to clean all the bugs, but we drink it, right? So we're getting a ton of chlorine coming in our body every time that we drink some water if you're not filtering your water appropriately. But let's say you are filtering the water you drink. Are you filtering the water you're actually showering with or bathing in? So you're going to absorb that chlorine through your skin also. Also, let's say most people are taking showers right now. You're going to vaporize that and you're going to breathe it in. And that's way more toxic than even through your skin because that's going right through your lungs, which is a readily available source to get it right into your bloodstream. So that's probably the main area we're getting these poor chlorines, chloric acids that we're getting, but we get it from other food sources also in our soil. They bleach a lot of different things like our white bread and rice, et cetera. So we get it from a lot of places. Bromine, we add that a lot to bread. What's interesting, I think they changed that around the 1980s, 1970s. They used to add iodine instead of bromine, but they changed it to bromine for some reason because they thought that people were going to get too much iodine. So they started adding bromine to bread. So that's a big piece that we're getting bromine, but we get it from other sources too through the foods we eat and plastics, etc. Chloride, that's coming from our water supply also. If you live in a region that does that, most places in the United States, they add fluoride to your water and you drink it and you get fluoride in there. And we're getting way too much fluoride in our bodies. And there's no research to really show that actually adding fluoride to the water is actually going to help with cavities. So it makes no sense at all to even do that. But also then we're adding it to our toothpaste because we want good, healthy teeth. And that's a source that we're getting fluoride. So we're getting all these toxic chemicals going in that really are affecting our iodine levels. And no wonder we have this epidemic of thyroid issues going on right now. So where are we getting... Wait, you're cutting out a lot. Did you hear that?
Yeah. And you.
Where do we get iodine, right? So one good thing is maybe if you live by the ocean, which I think is really great to do, but you don't have to do that to be able to get your iodine, but you have a local garden, you live close to the ocean, and the soil is going to be higher in iodine. So the foods that you're going to be eating are going to be high in the iodine too. But a huge source that I think we should be doing more is really follow what the Japanese are doing, especially in Okinawa, Japan, is they eat tons of seaweed. Seaweed is high in iodine and other nutrients. And maybe that's a piece of why they're living so long. Who knows in Okinawa, there's a lot of other pieces to there, but I think iodine is a piece to the puzzle because they get 13.8 milligrams of iodine per day. And the typical American, if they are eating iodized salt, is 150 UGs of iodine per day. So the Japanese are getting more than 100 times more iodine in their diet than the typical American or most people throughout the world is getting. So a major good source, healthy source that you could get iodine from is from seaweed. Now, sometimes people can't eat enough seaweed to actually get enough iodine efficiency. And we do that through testing and really know if people have enough iodine in their body. Is we need to take an iota raw to do that through a doctor that's really skilled in prescription of iodine because lube and iota raw are pretty high in iodine levels. And you want to make sure that you are actually deficient in iodine, even though majority of people probably are. I would say up to at least 75% of the population in the United States at least are iodine deficient. But I still think you definitely need to get it checked and it needs to be monitored from a doctor is you take Lugol's or iota raw can be a good source of iodine also. So what do I typically tell the patient when I want to prescribe iodine? So depending on how severe the deficiency is, so let's say they just are a little deficient. I'm going to be like, hey, you need to start eating a lot more seaweed. You need to get those packets and start eating those. Those are probably going to be enough there. See how much iodine is in it and get up to 13 milligrams of iodine. That's what I think majority of people throughout the world, they need to be getting 13.8 milligrams of iodine. We know that's safe. That's what the Japanese are getting every day. So that's a very safe way to get iodine. But for my patients that are really deficient, I like to use iota raw or Lugol's iodine. Lugol's iodine is the liquid form of it's, and this is a combination of iodine and iodide. Okay. There's two different things and they work differently throughout the body. So I do recommend Lugol's iota raw. Iota raw is iodoral. And that is just the capsule form of Lugol's iodine. And that's my favorite form because I don't just want to get iodine or iodide. I want to get a combination. And we should talk, and we're going to talk about this in just a little bit of there's certain areas of the body that use iodine and certain ones that use iodine. So we want to get a combination there. Let's talk about salt. Probably many of you are thinking here, it's like, oh, wait, I've been more natural salt, like real salt or Himalayan salt or whatever. So salts actually are mineral and actually are real and don't have all the toxic junk on them. Should I actually be going for iodized salt? My recommendation is no, we shouldn't be starting to eat iodized salt. Now, you are going to get some iodide from there. You're going to get any iodine, and you are going to be more iodine efficient with that comparatively. But what's interesting is about iodized salt is there was a study that was done, I believe it was in the 1970s or 1980s, in which they looked at sources of iodine, adding it to food. So they added it to salt, and they added it to bread. So they were doing this back in the day. Remember when I said they were adding it to breads back in the day? And what they found is iodized salt is a very poor way to absorb iodine. It get absorbed 18 times less than adding it to bread. So you get about 10% absorption of the iodine through iodized salt. Now, adding iodized salt to the diet, which they changed about in the middle of 1900s. I don't know the exact date when they actually started it. I think maybe 1940s, is they saw a lot of people were iodine deficient, especially in the Great Lakes region. And they started adding iodine to the salt. And this did decrease GORD. That only helped decrease the GORD. That does not mean it's totally helping the thyroid function appropriately. It just was decreasing that effect. And you weren't getting severe iodine deficiency because of that. So I am a fan. I'm not a fan of iodized salt. I'm not saying we need to do that. It's toxic salt. It's not real salt. It's dead. It doesn't have the minerals in there. They add all kinds of chemicals to make it actually purely white. So it's not going to be a great source of salt. I'm a fan of the Himalayan salt or Redmond's real salt or many of these other mineralized salt. And maybe we could do YouTube and podcasts in the future and we actually talk about salt and why do we actually need salt? Because a lot of people are reducing salt nowadays, right? You're going to get high blood pressure or it's going to be bad on your kidneys. And I think we need to talk about that in detail in a future episode about just salt. But my recommendation usually for my patients is I want them to take the good healthy salt. I want them to eat seaweed. And in certain circumstances, I am going to supplement them with Adderall or Lugol-Iodine.
So
yeah, to get 13.8 milligrams, I don't know that on top of my head of how much seaweed you need to eat there. You look at the package and you can see how much iodine is in each serving and do the calculation there. It is going to vary from region to region of seaweed that you eat. Kelp is a seaweed.
Okay.
So it's just a type of seaweed. So there's several different types of seaweed. You could eat kelp. You could eat several forms. All of them have iodine. Yeah. So let's talk about the different forms of iodine, right? We have iodide, we have iodine. Iodized salt is iodide. Most supplements that you get out on the market is iodide. They're usually not iodine. And that is what our thyroid loves. It loves iodide. It's going to take it up and it's going to convert it through our thyroid peroxide enzyme into iodine. And then it's going to be used into the thyroid to make T4 and make the thyroid hormones that we need appropriately in the thyroid gland. But there's iodine out there. And what organs that use iodine is more of the ovaries and the uterus and the prostate. So let's say all we're doing is taking iodine. You're forgetting about your ovaries, your prostate, your breasts, for example, also, and they're not going to be able to function as well. So we focus a lot on, okay, we need iodide or iodine for the thyroid, but we're forgetting about all these other organs that take up a lot that don't work appropriately if they don't get the iodide or iodine either. So let's say you have hormonal issues. Maybe you're not making enough estrogen or progesterone. It could be related to iodine because you're not getting iodine. You're getting iodide, maybe from the iodized salt, but you're not getting enough iodine. Also, if you're not getting enough iodide or iodine, your thyroid's going to take it up first. That's the priority organ. It's the organ that keeps all our cells working. So it's going to forget about the ovaries and the breasts and et cetera. So we're going to have maybe hormonal issues. We might get fibrocystic breasts. We might even get breast cancer. We might get enlarged prostates. We might have uterine lining issues and severe cramping. This all could be related to iodine deficiency and not getting enough iodide. And that's why I always recommend that we do a combination because the thyroid is great and awesome, but we need to make all our organs work appropriately that need the iodine. Also, our brain needs it. Our brain uses iodide and iodine. It doesn't really care that much, but our brain needs it a lot too. So for us to have optimal brain function, we need the iodine coming in. Can we get too much iodine? Does it really matter how much iodine we're really taking? Absolutely, yes. It's about a balance of your iodine. But what's interesting is we've been way too scared about iodine. I know I was in the beginning of my medical career, and for a while, I was anti-iodine. I wasn't really checking it a lot. I was like, most people are probably getting too much iodine. That's what I learned in medical school. I was like, we're going to be suppressing our thyroid if we get iodine. And that really that wasn't based on really good research. It's sadly to say, and I hate that I did this in the past, and I wasn't looking at iodine enough. But that being said, yes, you can get too much. So you need to check to actually see if you are iodine deficient. So I always recommend before you start pounding, especially those are iodorol. I mean, if you're eating a lot of seaweed, it's going to be hard for you to get enough iodine or iodide in there. So I'm not concerned about that. I mean, if you're going absolutely crazy, you could, but it's going to be hard because the Japanese eat tons of seaweed and they don't have any problem at all. But you can get too much. Like if you're getting like 12.5 milligrams or higher, especially if you're a small person or if you're a child, that might be too much or it might not be enough. So you just need to test it. And the best way to really test for iodine is I like to do a urine iodine. We could do a spot urine iodine. That's like a first morning urine void to see where your iodine is. But my favorite way to do this is really see how much iodine your cells are actually taking up. And through checking that, we're actually seeing better deficiencies and efficiency of iodine through actually taking a preload of iodine. So what you do is, let's say you're an adult, you take like 50 milligrams of iodorol right before you start testing it, and then you collect your urine for 24 hours, and then you send it to the lab, and then I get that information back. And then for a child, we do like 12.5 milligrams. But again, don't follow these numbers perfectly. You need to do it through a doctor because iodine can suppress the thyroid function and be very toxic if you get too much. If you want to learn more about thyroid health, click my videos to the right. I'm Dr. Jake, and I'll see you there.